This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm John Idstey in Washington.
And I'm Steve Inskeep in Baghdad. We've come here to report on law and order in a country that has none. You see that in the concrete walls around key buildings, walls that have grown over the years. New barriers surround the old ones, and newer walls surround those. Thousands of Iraqis guard those walls, which still get bombed. Up to 60,000 serve as bodyguards for officials who still get killed. Private security firms guard the wealthy who still get kidnapped. The rest of Iraq's people have only the police, whose work we will examine this week on Morning Edition. We start with the effort to gather evidence at a Baghdad morgue, which constantly opens its refrigerator doors to take in more of the dead.
Ask them, is there any other place in the hospital that where they store bodies?
The Yarmouk morgue shows exactly what's at stake right now. It's a small facility, just one of Baghdad's morgues. But in 24 hours before we visited, it accepted 25 bodies, most of them shot in the head. The morgue director, Naji Jahyan Salman, tells an interpreter that he turned away the police who brought 17 more.
There's one officer come up with the bodies, and I said, please, you know, I don't have enough room, just go ahead and take them somewhere else.
We visited this morgue with Lieutenant Brandon Della Torre.
Tell them they have a new body out front.
He's a California cop, now serving as a U.S. military policeman. He's part of a team helping Iraqis to investigate the stories behind these constantly arriving bodies.
He don't know where they're coming from.
The bodies all in one vehicle. They all came, you know, the same. With the same people.
17 من مكان واحد اجوا هذا ما جت يعني من تفرقات او شيء جت مره واحده
لا واحده مره هذولك جيت عليهم 15
in one pack. It's got to be from one place. He assumed that.
Lieutenant Della Torre's California National Guard unit was formed just last year. These MPs are citizen soldiers who in civilian life are hospital workers, computer technicians, beat cops, even members of the California Highway Patrol. Here in Iraq, they're commanded by a former business executive, Colonel Rod Barham. He says he's using some of the same skills as when he ran a fast food chain called Hot Dog on a Stick.
And it's like taking these young employees and putting them into these weird uniforms and telling them, this is the best job in the world. If I can sell that, then we can sell as an organization to these Iraqis that community policing is the best thing for them in the future.
American officials call this the year of the police in Iraq. They want a country protected by cops instead of soldiers. They've been helping Iraqis to build a fingerprint database, and the MPs escort American civilian advisors to police stations across the country, stations like the one that Lieutenant Della Torre rides to several times a week.
This is where the car bomb went off not too long ago when we were here. It blew up right in front. You'll see all the T-barriers that are all black. That's where it blew up. There was a big hole right in the middle.
It's not exactly a safe place.
Somewhere in about 30 were killed.
This is the headquarters for major investigations. Cops here are supposed to work cases like the one that investigators dubbed the 15, the 18, the 6, and the 9. Those numbers refer to the number of corpses found stuffed into a series of vehicles. The investigators are led by a general who asked us not to say his name. Like many Iraqi police, he lives in his office for his own safety.
I know.
Yes, I do sleep.
For a
long period as well.
And my
movement has to be calculated and organized.
What does your family think about your work?
They forget me.
They forget you.
Just by the call.
Security is not made easier by the knowledge that some kidnappers and killers wear police uniforms. One American says it's not unusual for victims to turn up bound by the same handcuffs that the U.S. distributes to Iraqi security forces. A second American told NPR the same. And there were signs of torture on some of the bodies when American advisors visited the Yarmouk morgue in Baghdad. That afternoon, an Iraqi waded into a morgue refrigerator. He kicked off his sandals. He clambered over a corpse to embrace the body of his brother on the floor. He told the morgue director it was the second of his brothers killed in separate shootings. The morgue's head of security, Major Kusay, says the bodies that jam these refrigerators arrived in the way they always do.
They're police stations when they bring the body, throw the body, and they leave. And we wait for somebody to come and show up.
أنا حتى توصل فكرة. المراكز ما الشرطة ده تجيبه الذبة وتروح بعد ما لهم شغلة. يعني بدون تحقيق. مدى يجري في التحقيق.
Police, they throw the body here and they leave. And nobody follows up unless the family.
And that's one of the things that we're doing here. We're trying to build up a better police force.
That's Pat Humphrey, one of the American civilian advisors to the Iraqi police. He met two Iraqi investigators at this morgue and urged them to get started on gathering evidence.
What we would suggest is to kind of work something like this backwards. You're here now, so you need to identify the ones that you can through their family or whatever.
The Iraqi investigators decline. They say their country's rules call for an investigative judge to examine the case first. U.S. officials say Iraqi authorities have clashing jurisdictions and rules that can stop an investigation. Political or sectarian murders are dangerous to investigate anyway. And an Iraqi investigator, Commander Mohammed, tells the Americans it's not his business.
Excuse me, هذا الشيء أنا أقدر أسويه.
If I investigate without authorization, he says, I'll be killed the next day on the street.
They don't understand that the first 24 hours is so important in this stuff. That's why none of them are getting solved, because they just don't get work.
Pat Humphrey wants the investigators to gather evidence before the bodies are buried. So he reaches out by phone to the investigators' commander. He gets permission for the men to proceed. They remain reluctant. And that leaves Humphrey and Army Lieutenant Brandon Delatorre shaking their heads.
That's one of the problems. Everything's broken the way the initial things were. So.
Before these bodies ever make it for investigation, they'll be released.
Yeah, that's
the broken part.
That's been the history here. And no one's fixing it.
In the end, it was time for Pat Humphrey and the military police to back away and let the Iraqi investigators do the job as they saw it.
Well, I will see you in the morning. I'm going to let you get to work here now. You know what to do.
The Iraqis did. They promptly walked away from the morgue, leaving dozens of murder victims behind.
The investigators.
Son of a gun. Son of a gun.
They got out of here quicker than I thought they would.
You know, I think we need to have
unless they want to take a break and come back.
We need to talk to Tom tomorrow.
Sectarian violence is taking a rising toll in Iraq. The sectarian killings escalated sharply after the February 22nd bombing of a Shiite shrine, the Golden Mosque in Samarra. Masked gunmen now systematically raid homes and remove their victims, who are never seen alive again. Many are later found bound and shot execution style. Between January and March, some 3,500 people were reported killed in Baghdad. During the first years of the Iraq War, a majority of the killings in Iraq were at the hands of mostly Sunni insurgents who attacked coalition soldiers and members of the country's Shiite majority. Now, the killings are described as much more personal and systematic, and most of the victims are Sunnis.
During the next few days here in Baghdad, we'll hear many voices about law enforcement in Iraq. Tomorrow, we'll report on 3 years of struggles to improve the police force. You can find an online journal of our travels at npr.org.